You are listening to the Alouettes Flight Deck, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
All right, folks, we've been cleared for takeoff.
And welcome to Alouettes Flight Deck podcast dedicated to Montreal Alouettes football. I am Tim Capper, along with Cliffy D. Hey, sir, how are you?
Howdy.
So, are you fully safonsified when it comes to turkey and stuffing and sweet potatoes and cranberries and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? I'm getting full. I have to hold on. I gotta undo my top button in my pants just thinking about it. Oh, okay, there we go.
That's a rookie move, man. That's why you wear track pants to Thanksgiving.
Track pants.
Absolutely. You want that comfort. You want the stretchiness. You want to be able to have lots of room just to gorge yourself.
Pants, my friend. Paternity pants. And I'm not at one bit embarrassed to wear them.
Love it. Love it. It's like Joey Tribbiani.
So how was your CFL-less Canadian Thanksgiving?
You know, I felt like something was missing this year. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I got to tell you, it really, really sucked not having a football game to go to and be a part of on Thanksgiving Day. To me, like, it's the game itself is always going to be fun, win or lose, no matter what this team gives us to work with. But
it would have been a rainy one, but so what?
Oh, well, we've gone through that before.
Oh, yes.
My gosh, did we ever. But to me, like, the tailgate, to not go to the tailgate and have the deep fried turkey and all the fixings and everything like that, to me, like, that was part of the fun of that was part of our tradition as far as the Thanksgiving Day game goes. To me, like, that's what helps make being a Montreal Alouettes fan so enjoyable, is to be able to enjoy occasions like this. Like, we don't have a Labor Day classic, really. No. We don't have a battle of
the Banjo Bowl.
Yeah, we don't have a battle of Quebec or anything like that. We don't have any sort of rivalry, so to speak. I mean, they keep trying to promote Montreal-Ottawa as like the 4-17 rivalry, but I mean, it just doesn't have quite that same zing as like the Battle of Alberta or the Battle of Ontario or, as you said, the Banjo Bowl or anything like that. Like, it's just, we don't really have too many traditions here in Montreal when it comes to the Alouettes, except for Thanksgiving Day. Like, that's our thing. And I don't know who dropped the ball on that one. Like, would you blame the league? Do you blame the Alouettes themselves for just this oversight? I don't know. Like, I don't want to necessarily point fingers, but.
Well, I will. I mean, I mean, until we hear otherwise, it's on both.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And yeah, they've got to own that. And it's, I really hope this is just a blip on the radar. Like, this is just one of those things that, like, oh, sorry, guys, our bad. We'll be back next year. We promise. Like, if you do that, then fine. All is forgiven. But it just sucks to have to go and you realize, like, and other fans too on online. If you took a look on Twitter and Facebook and all that, everybody else was bemoaning the fact that there was no Thanksgiving Day games at all, like, from any teams.
Yeah.
So, well, obviously,
Thanksgiving,
this is
you know where this AFL is, though. Thanksgiving weekend, it still counts. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it doesn't. But, you know, it's funny, the tweet I put out on Twitter this past weekend got some pretty good traction. So, I think it got up near 100 likes. So, it does show that people really agreed that there should have been some CFL football. And even I think the Alouettes commented on, somebody else had commented something. And maybe it was a thing, as you said, something of things to come, but it may be a little bit of a tease that it will be back next year, because this, like you said, this was our tradition. This was our tradition. It was a 13-year tradition, and also it was like 15 out of the last, was it 15 out of 18 or whatever it was. It was 13 in a row, I think 15 out of 16 or 14 out of 16 years. And then this, and whether it was the new scheduling thing or whether it was, I don't know, you know, but, you know, I can't, the CFL, if they were to give an excuse and say, well, it's because of our new Thursday, Friday, Saturday thing, no Sundays, well, we could point out a couple of games this year where that were played on Monday and that were played on Sunday. Alouettes happened to play in one of those games. So, you know, don't give me, if that was going to be their excuse, don't give me that garbage. And considering that it was a holiday in the U.S., there was nothing else on TV at that time of the day. Whether the game would have been at 1, whether the game would have been at 3, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, yeah, bring it back. Bring back our yearly tradition. I do understand that there was that one-year blip because of when, was it Hamilton? Was that the issue where they didn't play on Labor Day, one of those two teams, because of was it because Hamilton was in Guelph or something like that, or something to do with Toronto and the Jays or something to that effect? I don't remember what it was, and they, you know, people were rightly ticked off. So make it so. Come on, make things right and make it and bring it back.
Yeah, like I said, I'm. Again, I'm holding out hope that this is just, as I said before, just a blip on the radar, just a hiccup. Someone just fell asleep at the switch or something like that. I don't know. I'm trying to give as much benefit of the doubt as possible, but we just you got to bring it back. You just got to. This is our thing. We don't have a whole lot of traditions. Let us have this. Yeah. Give us Alouettes fans this, if nothing else. If nothing else, give us our Thanksgiving Day game.
Exactly. Exactly. And speaking of blips, wow, whether they were just starstruck because of all the snow that they got when they got the, by the way, that was a great reaction. Well, I'll have to talk about it. That was probably one of the few positives, was watching everybody's reaction on social media over the weekend when they got off the plane in Winnipeg. But yeah, I understand that. You know, we'd already clinched a playoff spot. Maybe they were coming off of a high. Maybe they were thinking, well, you know, Hamilton's off. You know, it doesn't really matter. It does matter. You need to go into the rest of the season on a high note and continue to play and be sharp. But man, I guess it. last year we probably would have blasted the team for and continued to make it a whole thing about it. But I guess it's kind of good that. Let's hope that this is Vernon Adams' worst game ever and never again, because I guess the best time to do it is now than on November 10th.
Absolutely. And that's how I kind of look at this this unfortunate loss to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers from the Alouettes is just I think they just got caught up in the moment of making the playoffs and just being happy to be there, which is a terrible attitude to have. Like you got to want better than that. You can't be satisfied with just making it. Like you, and again, the Alouettes still had a chance to take over first place in the CFL's Eastern Division. I mean, they still would have had to win out, and there's a few more things would have had to fall into place. But
Hamilton lose out.
Yeah, but again, the fact that Hamilton was sitting idle still could have given them. You should have given the team a little bit of a boost and say, hey, we've got this. We've beaten this Winnipeg Blue Bomber team before. And I can't help but wonder if maybe that was the reason. Like, because just a few weeks ago, the Alouettes made an incredible comeback against these same Blue Bombers. And I wonder if just the high off that momentum that they felt and the positive energy that they got from that, I wonder if they just were banking on that too much and just thought that Winnipeg was going to be a gimme all of a sudden, which nothing could be further from the truth, but just unfortunate that Montreal went into this game and it almost looked like they didn't want to play it. Like they just were just content to be there. They didn't want to get hurt. They didn't want to, you know, rock the boat or anything like that. Maybe in their minds, they didn't feel like they had anything to play for now that they had clinched their playoff spot. But Winnipeg played more like a team that wanted it, that had something to fight for.
Which they do.
Yeah, of course.
It makes me wonder. It's like say they tank. Okay. Let's just say if Winnipeg were to tank and Edmonton, could is it very possible that Winnipeg could have been a crossover team?
Yeah. In fact, I mean, again, I still feel like a lot of things would have to fall into place for that to happen. But in theory, Winnipeg could have been the crossover team. I think a lot would depend on the upcoming games. Because I think, again, I'd have to see the schedules and everything like that. But, I mean, in theory, Winnipeg could have crossed over and had to play Montreal to...
They have a game in hand, though. I think they have the last week off. I think it's how the schedules are this year. They're one of the teams that has a week off in the last week of the season, I think. But anyways. Yeah, it was just... I mean, props, obviously, to the entire... to the volunteers and to the crew over at IG Field who were able to get that stadium ready, because you never would have known. You never would have known that they had just gotten, I think it was anywhere between 30 and 50 centimeters over the past, it was like the past 24 to 36 hours. Mm-hmm. And considering the devastation that were happening in certain parts of Winnipeg, power outages, et cetera, et cetera. The field conditions looks pretty good. It's just that, unfortunately, I think with all fairness, Cliff, even though with the positivity with the, how we're having doing in the special teams when it comes to returning, with Alfred, you know, bringing back his second consecutive week, he's brought one back on a punt. I still think you didn't have all the pieces there when you have Chris Matthews sitting.
Hmm. Well, that's true. And again, I really felt like Montreal, at least offensively, they were trying to do things, but again, once they hit a little bit of adversity, they just didn't. It didn't feel like the same Alouettes team we've been watching over the past few weeks.
No, I agree.
Where they've just been able to figure things out. Like, yeah, they get down a little bit, but then they sort of, as I've said, flip the switch, and all of a sudden, boom, they become that team that just knows what they're doing. It just felt to me this past Saturday, like they'd make a mistake, they'd make the same mistake over again, and they kept trying to correct the mistake by making the same mistake. Like, I mean, like, there's an expression, when you're in a hole, stop digging. And that's what it felt like. It really felt like Vernon Adams and the offense was just trying to dig themselves out of a hole and failing at every point. I mean, yes, they did put 24 points on the board, but as far as I'm concerned, like the final score flatters the Alouettes because they did not play anywhere close to that potential. Like, I mean, there is a lot of moments where just things just didn't click whatsoever.
Potential at the beginning. I mean, and obviously we thought that things were going to change when they did what they have normally done all year in a quick touchdown to begin the second half. And we thought, oh, okay, we're doing well. But then, no, it's, as they said, Vernon Adams has his worst game in his CFL career. I mean, you and I were going back and forth on that. And you know, yardage-wise, you know, it's not as worse in yardage, but still, you put up four picks like that, and a lot of them were just... It wasn't Johnny Manziel's first pass of a CFL career bad, but it was... A lot of them seemed to be jump ball types where it wasn't necessarily a place where Geno Lewis could go up and get them, that type of thing. I think a lot of it was forced, and that's what it seemed like to me.
Yeah, there's at least two of them I can think of off the top of my head that he threw into double coverage. Also, Quan Bray missing his read, so that allowed Nick Taylor to take one of Vernon's passes back for a touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, man, and just when it felt like
down on special teams too for Bede.
Well, and again, I think that was unfortunate because I don't know if Winnipeg just was able to properly choreograph everything.
Well, it's like they called it on that one. You could tell they're saying, look, I think they made a read right before, and then but they just couldn't stop it. But, you know, either way, we got the ball back, and I don't think they got anything out. Was that the one where they didn't get anything out of that?
They got a field goal out of it.
Field goal out of it? Okay.
So, again, the defense definitely came to play for the most part. But, I mean, even at certain points, it looked like they were just exhausted from being on the field. And, again, Chris Streveler. Like, people have been wondering, is this guy going to be the real deal or not? And as far as I'm concerned, the jury is still out on him. But I mean, he definitely responded. Like, he played with purpose. I don't know if having Zach Galeros in the on the sidelines was a bit of a motivating factor for him to prove that, hey, I do belong here. This is still very much my football team. Only he can answer that question. But I mean, he was definitely motivated. He didn't have great stats, but he definitely played like a starting quarterback should be playing in the CFL.
I'm still gonna lean. I don't care what Bomber fans think. I'm still leaning towards not. So. You know, he, I think you've said it too. I think you said it a couple of weeks ago. He seems to be all leg and nothing else, just to paraphrase. Yeah. So it's so that was.
I call him Strebo. So I mean, like, because he's got a lot of Tim Tebow qualities about him. So
yes, because yeah, exactly. What is the one thing that everybody knows Tim Tebow for in his NFL career? What was his one most defining moment? A one pass play beating the Steelers in the playoffs. That's all that it was.
A broken down Steelers team,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's all there.
In overtime.
Yeah. So yeah. So Alouettes Slayers 35-24 to the Bombers. They drop to 8-7 on the season. With the loss, they are out of contention for first place in the CFL East, but they have clinched the number 2 seed in the CFL playoffs. They will host on November 10th at Percival Molson Stadium, and we got some news to talk about that in a couple of minutes. Yeah, as I said, it's I think what's getting frustrating for me too, and we were talking about this before, is that, you know, this is a team that we know can go on longer winning streaks than just one game. I think for me, it's just very frustrating that it's a continuation of a 1-1, lost 1, 1-1, lost 1 type of thing.
Yes and no, but let's not forget, too, like this team has had 2 3-game winning streaks followed by
it started off with a 2-game losing streak. But yeah, some consistency maybe. And as I said, maybe if we had Matthews in there, things would have been a little bit different. I understand it was a ratio thing again, as we were told. What was very frustrating is that, you know, with Stanback being out also, which, by the way, I don't think that really was much of a difference because Jeremiah Johnson did a hell of a game. He did a great job being the number one for the game. I thought that maybe with Stanback out, they would have brought, you know, that they would have been able to bring back Matthews and put him as in the starting lineup, but I guess not.
I wonder if just having the Mario Alford back there returning kicks, like he's an American receiver as well, just like Matthews. So at one point, you've got to sit somebody, and I just can't help but wonder if once again it really is the ratio that made the difference, and there's just nobody else that they could really sit at that point. So, well, I guess we'll see what happens on Friday when the Alouettes play the Argonauts, whether Chris Matthews will make his way back into the lineup or they'll bench somebody else in favor just to keep Alford still out there, because again, this guy has now returned he's got 2 touchdowns in 2 straight games in the return game. So I mean, like, you cannot bench this guy, and it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to bench someone of Chris Matthews' talents either. So who draws the short straw at this point?
Yeah, I guess we'll have to watch see what it is, and when it comes to people that are hurt and stuff like that, we'll have to watch the lineups for the game itself. We're talking about, by the way, you're talking about earlier how tired. I mean, the Bombers held the ball for almost 35 minutes, almost a 10-minute difference for the Alouettes, and I think that's a huge thing in itself. I mean, they all still had over 300 yards, but they gave up 412. They only had 69 rushing yards? I really thought they had more than that. I guess not. Vernon Adams, very mediocre game. I mean, 19 to 32. I mean, 266. I mean, almost threw for 300 yards, but a lot of it came in garbage time in the latter half of the fourth quarter. 2 touchdowns. That was fantastic. But as I said, the big stat was those 4 picks, and a lot of them were basically you knew they were going to be picked. it wasn't, you know, we had Gino was able to take what Gino, that was nuts. Gino taking away an interception in the first quarter. But then from there, it just didn't seem to go very well for big play VA.
No. And again, I'm going to say that this game is not going to define him as a quarterback by any stretch of the imagination. I really want to believe it was just a bad day at the office for him. It happens. Not every play is going to go your way. I really felt like he was forcing a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
At least two or three of those interceptions. Just like, I'm sitting there like, dude, you're better than that. And I want to believe he knows that he's better than that.
Because he's gotten away with those double coverage passes all year, and they seem to be going his way, but.
You live by the sword, you die by the sword. Yeah. And I think that was just an instance where Vernon just got burnt.
Yeah.
Again, it happens. And again, to his credit, he did actually stand up after the game and basically told everybody, like, that's on me. I've got to be better. And he owns it, at least. I mean, it's just one of those things that it just sucks, though, because even though you don't think, okay, this team really had anything much to play for, I mean, but they did. That's the thing is, I will go back to the fact that they could have still contended for first place in the East, especially with Hamilton sitting idle. But I just can't help but wonder, did they really want it bad enough, or were they just content with the idea that, hey, we're going to the playoffs for the first time in 5 years, and, well, okay, let's cool our jets. We don't need to worry about it. And I want to believe, being professionals, they don't feel that way, but sometimes that's just – it's the language, the body language, like how you play on game day. How you respond to certain instances like that?
Well, that's why I said I think they're more starstruck. Some of them seem to be more starstruck with the snow coming off the airplane than than maybe it was with the, I mean, it is a business trip. I do understand that some of the players may have never seen snow before or in that type of capacity, but I don't know.
I think Antonio Simmons was talking about that, how he's played all of his football in like North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida. Like he's never been further north. Like this, like becoming to Montreal, he's now the furthest north he's ever been.
Right.
And he's never seen snow. So maybe that could be one of those instances too, where yeah, you start like dumbfounded as to like, oh my gosh, I've never seen this before. And you just don't know how to react. You don't know how to play in these conditions. So it's very possible too.
The field was good. I couldn't put anything on the field. It was just, I guess, the cold and everything else, and I don't know.
Well, the cold, we know how to take care of that, thanks to our friend Tanner Marsh. You just slap on the Vaseline,
That's right. You
can go shirtless. You're all good.
There you go. Jeremiah Johnson was the leading rusher for the Alouettes, 13 carries, 72 yards with a 5.5 average. That again, for stepping in, that's absolutely amazing. Also, another thing, too, by the way, Cliff, you know, Vernon had four interceptions. He only had 6 yards rushing. He only took off twice. That's another thing, too, so it makes you wonder.
No, they scouted for him. That's the thing. You take away his run game, and that's what it was, is he was forced into making throws. And I'm sure I want to believe that a lot of the throws that he made, he didn't want to do. And just going for that highlight shot, going for that that kill shot, and end up, as I said, he just gets burned over and over.
Yeah. Including that one where it looked like he wanted to spike the ball on the penalty, but I don't know what the hell happened. Oof. There. What the hell was that?
That hurt to watch, because I saw, again, you talk about the body language, like he was frustrated, like, and again, you want to be pissed off because, you know, you got a false start or someone jumped off line or something like that. Okay, fine. I get that. But then again, I don't know if it's weather related or what have you, but the ball flew out of his hands and now you got to go run after it. And now you're, I think it was like second and 35.
Yes,
the next play, like what play do you call? Of course, naturally, you call the drop play.
You call a draw play. Hey, Quan Bray led the team with 99 yards receiving, 5 catches on 6 targets. Then it was Eugene Lewis, 4 of 8 for 59 yards, and then was Jake Wynacki for 53 yards. Wynacki and Bray had the touchdowns. Wynacki's touchdown was nice. Bray's touchdown in the latter in the fourth quarter was nice. I said there were some positives, but unfortunately, some of it. Andrew Harris set a personal record, career record for 166 yards rushing.
You talk about somebody who was on a mission. Yeah. Andrew Harris was on a mission.
Yeah, Strever goes off goes off. He gets 64 yards. So it's. Yeah, the turnovers hurt. The turnovers. I mean, and when we thought, you know, the Owls would get the ball on a turnover and they would do nothing with it, or they would turn it back over. So it was, again, it was just one of those games where nothing seemed to go right for the Alouettes, no matter how well they started off the first or the second half.
Yeah, when it rains, it pours. And sometimes.
Or in Winnipeg, it snows.
It snows, yeah. And as I said before, this game does not define the Alouettes season at all. I really truly want to believe it was just a bad day at the office. You know, as they say, things happen. Burn the tape, start over again, and now you've got 3 games left to improve upon and understand where your mistakes are and just get ready for the playoffs. Like that's what it is. There's no more Western teams until that playoff game. So you may as well just focus on, you know, the things you can control and just get better. That's all that's all this team can do at this point.
Yeah, that's true. On the defensive side of the ball, it was, wow, we had a lot of players with tackles this week. It was Hina Kamwamba led the team with 7 total defensive tackles. John Bowman had 5. Tommy Campbell had 5. Greg Reed had 5. 2 others had 4. And A.G. Murray had 4. And Antonio Simmons had 4. They gave up 400 total yards. 10 extra minutes on the field. It kind of showed, but then again, you know, it seemed to be everything in itself. What was the cause of them being an extra 10 minutes on the field? Well, it was because of either they couldn't stop them, or it was because of the turnovers, which gave Winnipeg the ball a couple of extra times.
Although I will say I was very impressed with the play of both Tommy Campbell and Bo Lacombo. They both, their interceptions were fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
They were, again, doing what they do best. Like, we were starting to finally see again that Alouette defense that we've come to love, like the hard hitting, laying the wood out for these guys. I mean, like, especially Boldacombo, like, his pick was just absolutely beautiful, and I really thought he was going to take it to the house, but yeah, then unfortunately, once again, as you mentioned, like, yeah, we get a great turnover, set yourself up for positive momentum, and then boom, intercepted.
Yeah.
It's just the way it goes, unfortunately.
Yeah, as I said, but now we know we got three more games left. The team has to they gotta really ramp it up. They gotta decide where they want to be what type of standing they want to be when it comes to that game on November 10th. They can't look forward to that game on November 10th because you still have. I mean, you still got some, you know, can't look past Toronto this week. You got a monster game and possibly a game that could show how well you do or don't match up versus the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And then you got the game in Ottawa. So it's these last three games, whether, you know, even though the two of the three teams are behind you in the standings, you still got to show what you're completely made of and show that this team is better than an under 500 record. And I would hope, Cliff, that their current goal obviously is to win out, but I would hope to win 10 games this season.
Mm-hmm. And that's completely doable. I mean, not to disrespect teams like Toronto or Ottawa, but we've seen what Montreal can do this year, and they are very much still a very real team. I still think they doubt themselves a little bit with certain things here and there and just their the way they play, but I think again, I don't think 10 wins is impossible. I definitely think Montreal can and will achieve that goal. The game against Hamilton, a lot will depend on if Hamilton rests many of their starters as well, and who could blame them, because they too are in a bit of an interesting situation, because for the next month they're going to be playing meaningless football games as well. So I mean, like, well, both Montreal and Hamilton are essentially 1-2. Like, they're not going to. Nothing's going to change in that regard. It just comes down to how they're going to prepare themselves and how they're going to be ready for their eventual playoff games.
They need their mindset kind of like it is, like the teams in the West are right now. They need to keep that mindset. What, no matter if they're you know, locked in where they are, they just need to keep a mindset that we still need to play competitive and be ready. So it'll be interesting, obviously, to say at least over the next 3 weeks before we go into the playoffs. Let's go with our grades for the game this week, Cliff. How would you rate the offense?
I hate to say, because yes, they did put points on the board. They did score touchdowns, but it was way too disjointed. As I said, Vernon Adams unfortunately made a few bad decisions. There was times where things just weren't clicking at all. I'd have to go with a D.
For me, I'm looking at what they did with the. They had some high spots, considering that, you know, Stanbeck was sat down. I don't know where to put Alfred in. I mean, that'd be special teams. But D's, you know, D plus. I can't give him a C minus. I can't fathom giving them a C in any way this week. But yeah, so I guess the closest I could do is give him a D plus. If that really means anything. So what about the defense?
Defense, again, they did their job for the most part. I mean, I think they definitely spent way too much time on the field, again, through no fault of their own. The players that showed up like they were supposed to. But again, they also had a hard time keeping Andrew Harris off the score sheet, and, you know, he had a monster game. I'd probably go C. I think it was a solid C. I mean, like, it could have been a lot better, but I think, again, I think they were sort of hamstrung by the offense, unfortunately. So I think, all things considered, if the offense played a little bit better, I could probably see the effort that was given be a closer to a B, but I'd say a very average, middle of the road kind of score. So that means that would essentially be a C.
Yeah. I mean, the interceptions were a huge plus. Considering what they did for Strevler and stuff like that, I would go with a C also.
I mean, here's the thing: we can't expect the defense to score points. I mean, that's the only thing they didn't do was score points.
That's so true.
They did their job for the most part, but I mean, like, you can't expect them to do everything. Like, the offense has to own this loss for sure. I mean, that's really what it came down to. Like, the mistakes that were made by everybody, like, that's really what sunk this Alouettes team last Saturday. I mean, the defense, for the most part, came to play. It just wasn't outstanding, and they didn't stop guys like Andrew Harris and Chris Streveler. That's the long and short of it.
Yeah, yeah, I completely agree with you. Don't forget that we are on social media. There are a couple of places where you can find us. Best place is over at our Twitter account, and that is at AlouettesFLDeck. And also, if you want to look for us over at Facebook, you can do that also by searching us at Alouettes Flight Deck. Also, if you want to listen to any of the archive, and by the way, if you haven't listened to our 100th episode special, why haven't you? One of the best interviews that we have had in the history. Nothing against anybody else, but I mean, just to be able to speak with Ben Cahoon for almost an hour, you have missed a lot of his story and a lot of the things I'm sure that you as an Alouettes fan or a CFL fan were curious to know. So make sure you go back in the archive and listen to that. And where can you do that? Well, if you head over to www.alouettesflightdeck.ca, or if you head over to Google Play Music, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify, you can listen to all of the shows that we have broadcast since way back when, in June 2016.
101 and counting.
Yes, that's right. Well, 102.
Well, right now we're at 102.
Oh, Yeah.
One thing I want to add on to, as you were talking about with the Ben Cahoon interview, first of all, just again, I'm still on top of the world just at how awesome, like just how down to earth he was and just how relatable he was with a lot of his stories. And as far as you think, like, would you put that as one of our best interviews? And again, I'm not trying to knock any of the other interviews we've had.
I would put it up there at the top of our interview, you know, one of the tops that we've done this year in our history, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. Now, the other one too, I think, of which I would give props to, and it's not really CFO related. Well, it's not team related. It is, but it's not player related. Is the one that we had earlier this year with the company that helped with the gave us insight on the new logo branding for the team. Mm-hmm. So I would put that up there as one of our non-player interviews, I guess we could say. But yeah, I would for sure put Ben up there for sure.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about that too. Like, just some of the again, we've been very fortunate, thanks to the Alouettes, to be able to speak with quite a few of the players, and again, they all bring something really interesting to the podcast, and we definitely appreciate it. But to be able to chat with a legend like Ben Cahoon, I think just it was such a treat, and I'm extremely thankful that we were able to do that. And I definitely think it'll just be a matter of time before we get more alumni members on the podcast, because if Ben's got stories like that, can you imagine just some of the other players that used to play for this team? Imagine some of the stories they must have as well.
Dude, yeah, I can only imagine. Only imagine. Yeah, for sure, for sure. Talk about a few of notes and news before we get to our preview of this week's game. You know, First, I didn't mention it before. I had to at least mention it. I was ragging on them a little bit about it, Cliff, but it was fun to see the players, their actual reaction. I understand what I said earlier, but still, it was like to see, it does show that even though you are a professional, that you can have fun. And watching, I was watching Greg Reed's live feed when they were throwing snowballs at each other. It was hilarious. It was hilarious. Or them coming off the airplane. And him saying to Jake Wanneke, saying just like Minnesota, eh?
Yes. I laughed how our man Vernon gets on the plane in Montreal.
Yeah,
he's all fresh. He's all, he's, you know, stylish man, like John Bowman. Like, you know, likes to get a little dressed up and you know, look extra fly. Problem is, that kind of dress didn't quite work out too well in Winnipeg. So I can only imagine him getting off the plane like, damn, I wasn't expecting this. I mean, but yeah, you have to, man. This is Canada. Like, this is, we live this like every winter. Like, we get weather like this all the time. It's just, that's just the way it is. And it's kind of funny. Like, again, let's not forget, Vernon's from Pasadena, California. They don't get a whole lot of snow there. And yes, he did play up in the Pacific Northwest, but again, more rain than snow, yeah, I think.
Yeah, you don't get that much snow up the Seattle and Oregon. I mean, I guess in the higher elevations you do, but yeah, it's.
But
when you think of snow, I think of Boise State maybe for snow, but
yeah, any of those Mountain West territories you think would get some, if some, a little bit of snow. So, but I really hope these players took note of all that. Like, I'm sure for some, it must have been a little terrifying, or it could be fun or that. But don't be surprised, fellas, if that's the kind of weather you're going to get November 10th. And I really hope they took this opportunity as sort of like a chance to get prepared for, at least to get in that mindset that we could be playing in weather similar to this during our playoff game. And let me tell you, folks, if that's the case, like, you think back to that playoff game in 2014 when it snowed like crazy and how much fun it was afterwards. Like, once they, the same thing, they cleared the field and it just made for an absolutely amazing game. So be ready, folks. I mean, like, this playoff game in November, I don't know what, I can't guarantee it's going to be a winter wonderland out there. It'll probably be cold, but it's going to be fun. And that's, and I hope the players realize that, and I hope they'll be ready for it.
Yeah, I do too. As we mentioned before, the playoff game will be held on November 10th. Tickets are currently on sale. And this is one of the bigger news items that came across the wire today, was specifically about the playoff game. It was announced by the Alouettes organization that even though they were 4 weeks away from the game itself, Cliff, the team has already sold 10,000 tickets, and that is just absolutely amazing to hear.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, considering that the current capacity of the stadium is just over 20,000, you're basically halfway there, and you still have another 4 weeks to go. And if I'm the Alouettes, like, you got two more home games coming up, two more opportunities to really sell this team, sell the game experience to fans. Anyone who's kind of on the fence, not sure still, which I, again, have a hard time believing at this point, is if you've been watching this team play, especially at home this year, you know how exciting it can get at Percival Molson Stadium. So I'm really curious to see just what happens. Like, don't be surprised. Like, those 5,000 tarped off seats, I mean, depending on how well these ticket sales go, maybe those tarps come off. Maybe we get more than 20,000 people at Percival Molson Stadium for that playoff game. And if that's the case, Tim, just with the atmosphere, with everything that's been building so far in 2019, and just the way the Alouettes have been playing, especially at home, I tell you what, if we can get this place sold out, holy crap, that is going to be one exciting afternoon in Montreal.
Oh, yeah, and it would be, I will admit, it would be really cool to... It really would be cool to have it packed, to have it really packed, because everybody knows with the history with Percival Molson and what it took to get it expanded and stuff like that. Everybody had heard the stories about what was done when it came to the numbers and the 100 straight sellouts, and it would be nice to see an actual 25,000 people just pack this place open.
Yeah, I mean, we've got our tickets, we're ready to go. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're on the fence, jump off, get those tickets. They're going to be on sale this week, because they've already done the pre-sale for season ticket holders, for Flex Pack, and even did a social media blitz as well. But now pretty much the general public's going to be going on sale this week. If you're not even just a little sure, trust me, this is going to be a fun atmosphere. This is going to be incredible. If you've been watching just on TV and seeing just how wild, how loud the crowds at Percival Molson have been getting, be a part of it. Come join it. I shouldn't have to sell you on this football team, but yeah. I mean, this is going to be an electric atmosphere, a real exciting atmosphere, and I can't wait. I really can't wait.
Yeah, there are a couple of two things that the Alouettes did, and it just shows that they are getting out in the community. The Alouettes had that. I just saw pictures of it because I wasn't able to get it because it was I was prepping for Thanksgiving dinner. But it the turnout seemed to be pretty good, and how they had it set up over at Olympic Stadium for the watch party seemed to go pretty good, from what I understand from the players that were there and whatnot. But props to the team and to everybody that was able to set that up. And also today, something I totally forgot about was that they had their Alouettes BMO Day over at one of the banks, Bank of Montreal banks over on St. Catherine Street West, right near the Alouettes ticket office. Had some players there. We're giving away tickets for the game on this game on Friday, and whatnot. But it seemed to be a good turnout. Also, I'd done one of those a few years, Cliff, and that was fun. It was, you know, it just shows that, you know, you can get out there into the community and be a team. That's one of the things. Now, if you're a national team, that type of thing, you know, NHL, da da da, you still need to get out into the community and show that you do care and that you want to be a part of the community.
Without question. And that's the thing. Like this team is built to be a community team. Like this whole Montreal's identity is about connecting with the city to be a part of the city of Montreal. And there's just no better way to do so than to actually, you know, start pounding the pavement, get out there and start shaking hands and kissing babies. And that's what the players need to do. They have to get out there and just reach out to the fans and say, hey, come be a part of this. If you're not with us already, come join us. Like, come to these games that are coming up. As I said, there's two more home games left in the regular season. And then, yes, there will be a playoff game in Montreal for the first time in 5 years. So come to the stadium and get excited. Like, even if you've got to give out a few tickets, for example, for this Friday's game, just to get fans hyped up, get them interested and excited. And more often than not, I guarantee they go to one game this year. And if they've been to a game already this year, you don't have to sell them anymore. Like, that's it right there. But anyone else that, as I said, might be on the fence or just not sure or just, you know, want to see what all the hype is about, what a great opportunity to do so. Get a chance to meet some players. You know, like I said, they were giving out some free swag, which is always nice. So, you know, it's just a great way to be a part of the community. And, you know, if you went and you checked it out, again, I'm pretty sure you had a blast, you know, sitting there chatting with the players. And again, if this doesn't get you excited for Friday's game, I don't know what will, because, even though the Montreal Alouettes don't really have a whole lot to play for, I still think they've got to get into that mindset of, as you said, Tim, you got to win. You still got to win football games. You still got to be prepared and walk out of this regular season in the positive.
Yeah, I agree with you. Also, for the first time in quite since, I think since the warehouse sale way back when at the beginning, I think they had a couple of times during the offseason too, but Cam and the guys over at the boutique are actually going to have the warehouse open on many Thursdays and Fridays coming up, leading up to the playoffs. They will be open most Thursdays and Fridays, as I said, through November 15th, from 3 to 8 p.m. over at 5530 St. Patrick Street, where you can go and get some merchandise and get ready. You know, as I said, if you're missing something, pick up a hoodie, pick up a toque or whatnot. But the dates, if you haven't seen it already, just to give the dates real quickly, as I said, these are all Thursday and or Fridays. October 17th, 24th, 25th, 31st, November 1st, 7th, 8th, 14th, and 15th. As I said, from 3 to 8 p.m. over at the boutique. It said to take a peek what you want, head over to their site and check it out at theboutique.montrealalouettes.com. And you can see what you want and then head over there. You know, because, hey, if you're in town for the first time in a while and you need to get some new merchandise, why not? If I'm not mistaken, and this is the fun part about the CFL, Cliff, I think, is this the first time that we're going to be meeting Baltimore Carl?
I believe it is. I think this is a very monumental occasion. This Friday, we will be meeting one of our beloved fans, friend of the show. And I'm definitely excited to finally meet Carl.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? He's made this trip at least for the last 3 years, and my thought was, dude, why didn't you tell us you were listening to the podcast sooner?
I
found that out last night when I was chatting to him. I was like, what? What are you talking about?
It's crazy, but and again, like you talk about that dedication to come all the way from Maryland up to Montreal to see the Alouettes play. I mean, and what a time to do so right now. Like this is fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. So hope to, I said, that's that, all better way. You know, I said we'll meet up with Carl and you know, chat with the hey, chat with the. We have to hear his story. Was it did he fall in love with the CFL when it was in the Baltimore Stallion days, or was it after the fact? That's one part of the story. His story, I don't know yet. So we'll have to find out, won't we?
And folks, I mean, definitely, if you're at the game, come out over to section Y1. Tim and I are always there, and we'd love to get, you know, you don't have to come in from Maryland just to come hang out with us, but like, just come and just, you know, come and chat up some football with us, man, because that's
it helps. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, only Maryland fans can sit in the section.
Your only way to get in through the velvet rope is I guess crab cakes. So yeah, so what else? There's something else I also wanted to raise. You know, go over the transactions, because there's something else that I wanted to talk about, and it just totally slipped my mind. So maybe I'll remember when you one of the few times I should have written it down.
Well, I mean, the Elwets have been kind of quiet as far as transactions go. They did add another player to the practice roster. That would be one Jermaine Ponder, a defensive back from St. Francis. Which also means that somebody gets let go. And this is actually kind of news to me. I don't know what happened, how this kind of slipped through my fingers. But unfortunately, the Alouettes have released American kicker Ryan Santoso. And my first thought was...
Wait, kicker?
Yeah, that was my first thought. We have another kicker? We only use one kicker. Like, we've got a kicker on our practice roster, Enrique Yeni, our global player.
Oh, yeah,
one right. of our global players. And he hasn't seen any actual game action. Like, he's just been on the practice roster too. Like, at what point did we need a third kicker? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, no, I know.
I mean, listen, far be it for me to understand, you know, some of the moves that a football team makes, but I mean, was Bede hiding an injury? Was something not right? Like, that they actually felt they needed another kicker? Like, I'm confused, to be honest with you. So, but I mean, I guess it's all moot now, because yes, Santoso has been released, but just that first glance is like, wait a minute, we had another kicker?
Yeah,
like, and this isn't like Tyler Caprina being signed to the practice roster and then poached by the Argos. Like, this is like, he's here and gone, this Ryan Santoso. Like, what the heck?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, no kidding.
Okay.
I remember what it was. It happened to be leaked. I just thought it was interesting. I just wanted to hear your thoughts about it. You know, as everybody knows, the XFL started up started their draft this week, and the Alouettes had a couple of active players on their roster which were available to be drafted. Okay. But it was actually leaked out, and I think that we had this conversation back when the AAF was coming around and how much that they were offering, Cliff, is that it was leaked through, I think, the agents. About the salaries between, when it came to the differences between the CFL and the XFL. And very surprisingly to hear that the XFL average salary is actually very, very close to what the CFL would be, even with all the exchanges and et cetera. It's very, they're still slightly more, but it's very close to what the average salary is for, you know, for the CFL. So it's, or the minimum salary. So mm-hmm. I was very actually happy to hear that, because, you know, I think it was a bunch of doom and gloom that we were talking about with the AAF and losing some players. But now hearing this, I think it kind of puts my mind at ease when it comes to the XFL.
Yeah, and understandably, there's a lot of players that are in the CFL right now that have to take a look at what's going on in the XFL and probably wonder if, even though the salaries are similar, give or take a few dollars, just the idea of not having to worry about getting a passport and coming up to a foreign country to play football, if they can get that same opportunity closer to home, or at least in their home country, mm-hmm. that definitely is something that would be of interest, I'm sure, to quite a few players, because at the end of the day, you just want to make film. You want to get your game on film and ultimately get recognized for it. I mean, you can still carve yourself out a pretty fine career here in Canada. But at the same time, if you're getting similar money from the XFL, and yeah, as I said, you don't have to travel to another nation. You can stay maybe a little bit closer to home, potentially. You know, there's a lot of things to consider when it comes to that. And I don't think it's going to have that big drain that a lot of people have been talking about. I mean, well, if that opportunity does come up, and we see it every year. Every year, there's one or two players that really ball out. They really put together some really impressive highlights, and they get that invite to the NFL. Some of them stick, some of them don't. But again, all this really is it just gives more opportunities to play football. And who knows whether the XFL survives or not? Only time's going to tell on that one. But it does open up the players' pool a lot more, gets a lot more eyes on the league, and even in the CFL too. I think a lot of CFL scouts and coaches are going to take a look at what's going on in the XFL, and who knows, maybe there's a, you know, you find one or two of those diamonds in the rough that, you know, we always try to find. And normally the CFL gets the credit for exposing these players to the rest of the world, but maybe now it's going to have to be the XFL who does that. And guess what, maybe the CFL will come along and say, listen, we can offer an opportunity too. Maybe not exactly what you were looking for, but again, this league has been around for 100 plus years, and you'll still get those same highlights. You'll still get a chance to play every day, which at the end of the day, a lot of these players, that's all they want to do, is they just want to play football. And again, if you can get to the NFL as a result, so much the better. But as I said, you still make yourself a pretty fine career up here in Canada. So all this to say that more opportunities includes more players being exposed, more players getting a chance to show what they can do on the field, and I'm curious to see just how it's going to pan out. And I couldn't help but notice too, there's a few former Alouettes that were drafted in this league. Guys like Garrett Fugate and Lawrence Pittman, they're now going to be part of the New York Defenders. The New York Guardians. And there's also a very big CFL flavor in Tampa Bay with the Vipers, because our former head coach Mark Trestman is now the head coach and general manager of the Vipers. Mm-hmm. And has assembled a staff that is very CFL friendly, featuring a lot of former players and coaches. Very
friendly too.
Yes, it is. You got Billy Parker as the defensive backs coach. Is he the defensive or assistant defensive backs coach?
I'd have to look it up again. I couldn't tell you at the top of my head.
Yep. Jonathan Heirbaum, the offensive line coach. Jerry Glanville, who was up with the Hamilton Tiger Cats, he's now the defensive coordinator for the Vipers. A couple other names, Bert Hill, who also was the former defensive line coach here in Montreal. He's going to be doing, I believe, the same duties in Tampa Bay. So again, there's a very CFL flavor to this Tampa Bay Vipers team, thanks to Coach Stressman. And yeah, I'm really curious to see, once this league kicks off, just what they can do.
Yeah, time will only tell. Time will only tell when it comes to this league. So it's we'll have to see what happens. We'll have to see what happens. So, hey Cliff, we got a game this week versus the Toronto Argonauts. This is a team that can easily play. I guess we could say a spoiler, but I mean considering that the two teams are currently locked the way they are in the top two teams in the East, I guess they're playing very basically for SJ, because SJ last week, monster game, career numbers, milestones. He's close to some others too, but I guess for them, it's all about looking to next year, and I guess it's already their preseason, 2020 preseason.
Well, then again, we've experienced this ourselves too here in Montreal. Is when you're pretty much been eliminated from the playoffs, you are playing for next year. You are playing to assure yourself of a job with the team the next year. So, and that's the case right now for the Toronto Argonauts. Is you're playing for next year. There's probably gonna be some players that are finally going to get a chance to get some honest to goodness reps. So again, this is your opportunity to shine, and shine you better do, because yeah, maybe the game doesn't count in the standings. Whether Toronto wins or loses this game is irrelevant in the grand scheme of things. But for these players, like the ones that may not have gotten the opportunity before, or maybe wouldn't have even been given any sort of consideration because certain stars have been in their place instead, this is their chance to really show out. I mean, not just for the Argos themselves, but also you're basically opening yourself up to other CFL teams who are going to be looking for a need or looking for, a couple of bodies to invite to camp for the next season. So to say this game that means nothing is completely false. I mean, this game definitely means something. It'll mean something to the Alouettes, because they obviously want to get themselves in that playoff mindset. They want to get themselves ready to go. They obviously, they're not going to kill themselves in the effort to do so because they still got to stay healthy for November 10th, but they can't afford to slack off either. I mean, you saw what happened last week against Winnipeg. They just, I don't want to say they took their eyes off the prize, but there is still very much a little part of me that wonders if maybe they weren't giving it 100%. Maybe they were just only giving 95%. And even that still made enough of a difference, which basically meant the difference between a win and a loss. So I'm curious to see just how Alouettes are going to come out on Friday night against these Argos. I don't think they're going to take them lightly. I think they're still in that mindset that they have to show up anyways. And they may not necessarily show out, but at least show up and be prepared to go. Because you know Toronto will be win or lose. Like, they're going to be, as you said, I think they're going to be motivated for SJ. The guy's still out there. He's still killing it, which is nothing short of incredible. I think McLeod Bethel Thompson is back as starting quarterback now for the Argos. So
Who knows?
he too, I think he's got to try to, you know, convince people that, hey, I still belong. I still want to be a part of this team. Like I said, there's definitely some opportunities here for things to happen, especially now that the change, now that Jim Popp is no longer the general manager for the Argos. You got now Pinball Clemens, who is overseeing that position. So he, too, is going to be watching this game intently and seeing just who really wants to be a part of the good ship Argonaut and who'd rather not.
Yeah. If my notes are correct, I've been doing this while we've been chatting for the show. It is very possible, Cliff, that this is the first. I'm double checking this again. This may be the first ever Friday, October regular season game played in Al's history this late in the season on a Friday. I'm that's what I'm seeing so far, because we don't remember when the Big O had its roof put on. But I mean, if we were just to go to include the Olympic Stadium, this will be the first Friday game in October since since 97.
At least in Montreal.
I mean, that home game. That's what I meant. Home game.
Yeah. Okay.
Home, yeah. Home game on a Friday. So I was like, what? That's nuts.
Yeah, because we were one of the few teams that would play football games on Sundays at Percival Molson Stadium. Mm-hmm. And not this year.
Nope.
So, we've got Friday Night Lights yet again, which is it's very peculiar to see this in October. Like, I'm just thinking now, like, it's going to be chilly. we're gonna have to rock some toques, I think.
Possibly. And then we got some other games. But, yeah, it's a night game, too, on top of that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it gets chilly at night here in Montreal. So, I don't know. Like, it's definitely going to be uncharted territory for us, I think.
Yes.
In more ways than one.
Yes. Also, from what I am seeing here, the line at Five Dimes actually has the Alouettes favored by 10.5 points, and you and I were trying to find some stuff before that, and if anybody else knows, please let us know. But I'm trying to remember the last time the Alouettes were a 10.5 point favorite at home or on the road.
It's definitely been a while, that's for sure. I mean, you'd probably have to go back to the Anthony Calvillo days before seeing numbers like that. I mean, it's definitely been a while here in Montreal since we've seen a line like that in favor of the Alouettes.
Yeah, no kidding. And and I just had it here and it just went away. I think the Alouettes have actually, even though with all the issues that they had at home versus the Argos, et cetera, the Alouettes have still actually, they actually have a winning streak versus Toronto at home. It seems strange to say that, considering that, again, as I said, how poor the Alouettes have been playing for the past couple of years versus the Argos. Yeah, they've won the last four at home versus the Argos.
Mm-hmm. And, I think about last year. Last year was a bit of a blowout. I mean, the second game against the Argos.
Yeah,
the first
10.
Game. But that first game was that fantastic game with Antonio Pipkin as quarterback.
Yes, that's right. Yep, 25-22 win.
Yeah, that's so again, like, yeah, you're right. I mean, for some reason, and it doesn't matter who the coach is, because 2 years ago it was Mark Trestman. I think, yeah, even last year it was Mark Trestman.
No, nope, Sherman.
Or no, I'm talking about Toronto's coach.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
So, like I said, it's... there's just something about coming to Montreal that Toronto just doesn't seem to respond. And again, it's probably no fault of their own. It's just when you get to a certain point of the year, like if, especially if you're not in a playoff position, then it's can be a little hard to get excited for some of these games. But I got a feeling that Toronto is going to show up. I think they're going to be inspired, especially when you got Pinball Clemens basically leading the charge. And again, the fact that a lot of these guys are playing for jobs for next season.
Yeah.
And then again, Montreal is definitely going to be, I think, a lot more motivated. Just as I said, just to be ready for that that playoff game next month. Mm-hmm. I definitely think we're going to see an interesting game. I don't think it's going to be boring by any stretch. I think Montreal is going to come out. I think they're going to be inspired. I think Vernon is definitely going to be inspired after his poor outing. That's one thing. He usually has a bad game, but he comes right back. And I have a feeling Vernon is going to come out, and I think he's going to get people back on his side again. I don't think anyone's really against him, but I think he needs a game like this to really restore his confidence and just remind everybody that, hey, I'm still a pretty darn good quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. Well, obviously, it being early, we have not heard anything yet when it comes to we haven't heard anything bad when it comes to, obviously, with Stambeck not playing, because we're checking the had anything from Herb or from DJ from what I've noticed about when it comes to updates, any bad updates for the Alouettes. I don't think. I'm just funny I'm saying that now. Watch there be something. Nope, so far nothing. So was today there? No, today what? No, today couldn't have been. Did they have a short week? Did they practice yesterday?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, so it's three days, and so I haven't seen anything yet. So, but yeah, it we just have to determine now who the Alouettes are going to be playing on November 10th.
Yeah, and I think if it was starting tomorrow, it would be the Edmonton Eskimos. But I mean, there's still 3 weeks left in the season where a lot could change, and again, it's very possible that Edmonton could catch fire and somehow find a way to move up, but I'd have to see how the scenarios all work out. But more than likely, I think it will be the Edmonton Eskimos that come to Montreal on November 10th. But imagine if one of these other teams, like for example, Winnipeg or even Saskatchewan, mm-hmm. end up as a crossover team. Could you imagine that?
It would be very interesting.
I'll tell you what, if it was Saskatchewan, guarantee the tarps would come off, and that would be solid, because the Rider Nation would show up for that game 100%.
Oh yeah, for sure. Don't forget also this week, it's another Friday Night Lights, the last one of the season. It's $7 beers. Doors open at 4:30, I think it's what it said. I think I had to double check that again, but I think it was at 4:30. Hey, come, it's gonna be a little cool, but you know what, so what, it's still an Alouettes home game, right?
Absolutely. Swing by the tailgate, check, come say hi to everybody there, bring some food, bring your beverages, hang out with some pretty awesome fans, and get excited, folks. I mean, the fact that the Alouettes are very much a part of the picture this late in the year, no one expected that.
No,
but we'll take it. No. And let's have some fun with it, folks. That's what it comes down to, is just be excited. And if you're, once again, if you're just thinking about going to the game, stop thinking, start doing, get ready. This team is just getting started, folks. It really, truly is. That's, you saw it during the last home game where the Alouettes clinched their playoff spot. Absolutely electric. When this team is inspired, the fans get inspired, the fans get rowdy, the fans get excited. I mean, there is just no better place to watch a football game right now than Percival Molson Stadium. So don't stay at home and watch the game on TSN or RDS. Come out to the stadium, have some fun, meet some awesome fans, and cheer on this football team, because damn it, they deserve it.
It's going to be fun, I will admit. So again, I mean, if you want to reach out to Cliff or myself, you can do so on social media. You can reach Cliff at Cliffy D on Twitter. You can also reach out to me at Repact. It's REPPACT. That is on Twitter also. We look forward to seeing some of you who we've never met before, and also those fans that we have seen all year long and all the years, these years. We're looking forward to seeing you again to celebrate a home game for the Montreal Alouettes. And obviously you, the fans, we have to see you here back next week. So everybody here at the Alouettes Flight Deck, for Cliffy D, I'm Tim Capper. We're on Final Approach. Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.